Are you confused by this whole three-in-one thing with the Trinity? Let's see if we can help you out today on the Christian Wake Up Call.
Calling all sinners. It's time for your Christian Wake Up Call. Get a dose of biblical Christian truth for today's tough challenges. And now, here's your host, John Davison.
Welcome, brothers and sisters, to this week's episode of the Christian Wake Up Call. I hope you had a blessed week. Today we're going to be covering the Trinity. The doctrine of the Trinity is commonly attacked by those outside the faith. They either don't understand it or just simply looking to have a target that most Christians don't know how to defend. So today we're going to cover what the Trinity is, where it came from, and try and make you or help you understand what the Trinity actually is and how it fits in with three in one. So stick around. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back. And welcome back, everyone. So let's dig right in. What is the Trinity? The Trinity is a church doctrine describing how a way we can understand God as defined through the scriptures. And this is important because we recognize Jesus as divine and God. So we need to understand how all the scriptures fit in place together and defend our stance on Jesus' divinity. And we're not going to go into why we say Jesus is divine. This was covered a couple episodes ago. And our episode is Jesus God. You may want to go back and give that one a whirl too. But we do know that Jesus is God, and it is described, and we can point to his actions, his words, and even his own claims. So when we try and reconcile this with God's word, where there's only one God, you have God the Father, then you got now Jesus, who is also divine or God, and we also have the Holy Spirit hanging out around there too. So how do we put these together and validate them with each other so scripture isn't in competition with each other? It's not conflicting, because we know God's word is true. So that's where the Trinity comes in. The Trinity is simply a way of reconciling these three forms of God as a single unit, or the Godhead. Oh, you're not going to be able to go through your Bible and find the word Trinity or an explanation that God is these threefold person. Actually, probably the closest thing you'll find to this type of statement in the Bible is in Matthew 28:19. Where Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." So this is about the only time you will see all three related to each other in a single statement cleanly. But that doesn't mean that the rest of the scriptures don't support the concept of the Trinity as we understand it. So we need to look at God's word when we're going through this to figure it out. And we'll do some of that today. And just remember, the Trinity isn't a static, solid thing. It is simply a relational way of reconciling the existence of God related to his word and how we are capable of comprehending it. And maybe this will help. I once read a story from a long ago father of the church where he talked about a tree and its roots, where he equated God to the tree and Jesus as the roots. He sees them separately, but they are again part of the whole. And then there's the Holy Spirit, which he equated to the fruit from the tree. Now they are all part of the whole tree. They are not separate entities, but yet in our minds we can also distinctly separate them from each other. You got the roots. The roots are their own thing. The trunk of the tree is its own thing. The fruit is its own thing, but they all exist coherently together as one tree. And I'm not sure if that helps at all. But hopefully it kind of gives you an idea of where we're going and what we're going to be discussing. So just keep that in mind as we go through the rest of the day's episode. So for now, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll return and we will discuss some of the history of how we got to the doctrine of the Trinity. So stick around and we'll be right back. Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Now that we've covered a little bit about understanding the doctrine of the Trinity, let's see where it came from. Let's understand some of the history behind it. I know a lot of people today like to equate everything to the evil of the Catholic Church Empire, but it really has its foundations before the Catholic Church really took over as we know it now. During the early days, during the beginning of the church history, probably around the end of the second, early third century, there was a man known as Tertullian of Carthage. He's one of our early church fathers and theologians. He converted to Christianity from paganism in around 190 AD. He ended up being martyred in 220 AD. So somewhere in that time, he actually coined the phrase of the Trinity, or Trinitas, as he used. It was a way for him to describe the complexity of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, the story I told you earlier about the tree, that was actually from Tertullian. He's the one that told that story to describe the Trinity so people could understand it easier. He's also, interestingly enough, considered the father of Latin. And he was a major contributor to pretty much most of our defined theories, doctrines, and practices from the early church. So this guy wasn't a trivial guy, especially as far as the church was concerned. But this was also during a period where Christianity was being persecuted, and it has not been accepted by Rome yet. So we do not have the Roman Catholic Church yet. What we have is the early Universal Church, which most people believe was actually started by Peter, according to tradition. But now we know that when we say the word Trinity, we know it came from Tertullian of Carthage, who used the word Trinitas to describe the threefold of God. Now, that stuck around for a while. There's obviously back and forth between the divinity of Christ and a concept that was called Arianism. Arianism was the belief that Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, was a created being and not an eternal or divine one, which obviously conflicts with the concept of Trinitarianism and what most of us believe about Jesus today. So later, in around 325 AD, the Council of Nicaea was called together to meet to basically address this particular issue between the divinity or God that we know Christ as, or the created being that Arianism is. And after that, the Council of Nicaea upheld the divinity of Christ, of Jesus. Now, this is still before Rome, the Roman Catholic Church, the Great Divide. That occurs later on. So it is still the Universal Church at this time before the Roman Catholic Church becomes an official thing. So for all of you who want to blame the Catholic Church for creating the Trinity and everything else that we want to disagree with, the concept of the Trinity and even the term Trinitas was used well before any of that occurred. So it's been pretty close to the original beginnings of the church. Yet at this point, the Council of Nicaea has only confirmed Father and Son as God. The Holy Spirit wasn't included yet, even though philosophically it was included as, I guess, part of God in certain individuals' or leaders' beliefs. But it wasn't until 381 AD, when the Council of Constantinople meant that the universal church, we're all in the body of Christ. So hopefully you found that informative and now understand how we got to the doctrine of the Trinity and where it came from. So we're going to take a quick break, so stick around, we'll be right back. And welcome back, brothers and sisters. Now that we've covered the history of the Trinity and some of the basics of the doctrine and understanding that, we're now going to just dig right into really understanding as best as we can God as the Trinity. So from the very beginning, it's been very clear through Scripture, in the Old Testament especially, that God is a singular entity. If we look at Deuteronomy 4:35, to you it was shown that you might know that the Lord, He is God. There is no one other besides Him. Or Isaiah 43:10, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am He. Before me was no God formed, and there will be none after me. And these are just a couple examples where God makes it clear that He has always existed, and He is the only one, and there will never be another one. So now, how do we resolve that with other places where we treat God as a plural? Specifically, Jesus really brings these out by quoting previous scriptures and all that. But He equates Himself to being God. But yet He also refers to the Father. But yet He also says, like in John 10:30, I and the Father are one. Also, and I think we're all familiar with John chapter 1, where in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And later we hear that the Word became flesh, which is a reference to Jesus. They're pointing to Jesus being the Word from the beginning of time, being within part of God. So I think when we look at this, we see that it's not a big secret that they're separate, and they refer to Him, each other. You know, Jesus refers to Him as the Father, and when God speaks, refers to Him as a Son, that they each refer to each other, I and the Father are one. But how does that relate with the Old Testament, which seems to always be pretty clear that there is just God? There's no true hint to Jesus' existence, even though He was there from the beginning. So when we go back and look at Genesis, I think we can kind of start to see a little bit of it there. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, yes, that statement is using a singular context for God in its writing, yet it uses the word Elohim, which is a plural of gods. So they're talking about gods, but being a single entity in Genesis 1:1. Now, that's not something that comes through in our translations, because we automatically equate it to just being God or the Lord. And then we can dig down further. We look at Genesis 1:26, and it's much clearer, I think, now, even in most translations. And it says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let him rule over the fish in the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the livestock of the earth, and over every crawling thing that crawls on the earth. So God refers to Himself or themselves in plural form. I don't think you can get much clearer than that. There's a plural in heaven, going back to the creation. So now, if we look at this, we see that Jesus fits in quite well with this, that He could have been and probably was there from the beginning, even from the early scriptures of Genesis. So knowing that God created us in their image, we can look at ourselves to maybe perhaps understand the concept of the Trinity a little better. And this is how I've always looked at it. We are a threefold being, just like God. We have a body, which Jesus would represent the body in the Godhead. He had the physical form. He came to earth. He shared in our experiences. He followed our physical temptations, but yet he didn't let them control him. You know, we look at Jesus and think about how sacrificing he was, but he didn't want to die on the cross. He asked God to take this cup from him, but let his will be done. So, though we have physical bodies, we're also directed by our souls, which would represent God the Father. Our souls are what we are, who we are. It's our control of everything. You know, the body can want this and want that, and the soul is the one that actually makes the decisions to either give in or to keep control of everything. And the soul is who we are ultimately. It's our ultimate authority, just like God the Father is the ultimate authority. So like God controls everything, our mind, our soul controls all of us. And finally, we have the Spirit, or the Holy Spirit. Obviously, that's what it reflects, the Holy Spirit. This is what inspires us, gives us the will to act and speak truth. This is what actually connects us with God. We are connected through His Spirit. Now, in Hebrew, the word for spirit and breath are the same. It's roach. So, when we look at it that way, God breathed His Spirit into us and gave us life. In Genesis 2:7, it says, "Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living person." So it was God's breath that gave us life, God's Spirit. And that's not trivial. No other animal had life breathed into him. Not the plants, not the animals, not the sea creatures. Only man. Only man is threefold. We have a body, soul, and spirit. Nowhere else in the Bible can anything claim that. And that's how we can see God. We have our body, we have our soul, we have our spirit. There's three separate pieces that make up a whole us. Just like Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. And for me, when I think of it that way, the concept of the Trinity, the doctrine, makes a lot more sense and fits very well with Scripture, both New Testament and Old Testament. The Father knows the Son. The soul, my soul knows my body. It knows what my body wants. It knows what it needs. And my body knows my soul. It takes direction from it. It knows what its will is and tries to achieve it. I think it makes very clear how God works. And I think as long as we think of it and understand it that way, that we really have no issues understanding the doctrine of the Trinity. And I am by no means equating ourselves to God. We're nowhere near God by making these comparisons. This is just a way that our trivial, inferior minds can grasp the concepts of maybe what Jesus was trying to teach us through his word in the Gospels and through most of the New Testament. Anyway, I hope that helps. I hope that gets your mind a better hold of what the Trinity is and how it kind of works and how we can resolve the issues of a single God, yet also referring to plurality in the Godhead. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll close out our podcast for today. So stick around. And welcome back. So again, there was a lot to absorb this week. I hope you found it useful and informational. We dug deep into how we can understand the Trinity, the history of where the concept and the doctrine of the Trinity came from, and just the basic high level, you know, what it is and why we have it. So, I again thank you for joining me. If you enjoyed the show, please make sure to subscribe, like, share, and review. Next week, we were going to talk about the importance of validating ourselves and messages we think God's guiding us on against the Scriptures and why that's important. So we hope to see you next week. And as always, live for your Lord.